In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, that by thy grace we may come unto everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The Epistle lesson for this Sunday, the 24th Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the Epistle or Letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and reads as follows. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 398. Thank you. gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, and reads as follows. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 5 through 12, and reads as follows. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. While it is certainly true that God has set forth his teachings in very clear terms in Holy Scripture, the doctrines concerning what he wants us to believe and how he wants us to live our lives, those are all set forth very clearly in the Bible. Yet at the same time, they're generally misunderstood by a great number of people. Actually, most people misunderstand the teachings of Holy Scripture. And this misunderstanding even happens among those who are generally regarded by the world as being experts in the Bible, in ancient literature, in languages. Why? Well, since the Bible is the Word of God, and God wants us to understand His Word, He wants all people to be saved, to come into the knowledge of the truth. And He's fully capable of expressing Himself very clearly. Therefore, God and His Word really cannot be the cause of man's misunderstanding of the Scriptures. No, the cause of man's misunderstanding must be in himself, due to his own mental or fleshly deficiencies. Now, some people who misunderstand and misrepresent the words of the Bible do so because they really do not care what God actually teaches, but they simply desire to have their own views reflected in what they read on the pages of Holy Scripture. And that causes them to take the Word of God out of context, to grossly distort a passage contrary to its plain meaning and context. Others may have a sincere desire to learn what the Bible says, but because they also have some false doctrine embedded in their brains that affects the way they think, and it then causes great portions of the Bible to remain unclear to them, uncertain. Still others, like the disciples in our text, are true believers who sincerely do want to know what God is telling them in His Word, but they still sometimes misunderstand Him because they are distracted and confused by certain other things. In each case, the solution for those misunderstandings will not be found by turning away from the Scriptures and seeking enlightenment from non-biblical sources. On the contrary, man must turn his focus more deeply into the Bible itself if he is to have his misunderstandings corrected. Remember how Jesus spoke to the unbelieving Jews about their knowledge of the Scriptures. He told them that they thought they had eternal life based on their knowledge of the scriptures. But they didn't, because they were distorting the scriptures. They didn't even see how the scriptures pointed to faith in him. So what did Jesus tell them to do? Not to go to some other source, but to go back to those very scriptures that they were misunderstanding. Search them more thoroughly and find out that they, the scriptures, testify concerning him, the Lord Jesus. And certainly we Christians who love the Lord and his word, we desire to be instructed by him. So we must turn again and again our focus to the scriptures for spiritual enlightenment, for growth in our understanding of the precious doctrines contained therein, and so that whatever misunderstandings we might have might be cleared up and corrected by God himself through his holy word. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text for today, focus our meditation upon the following theme. Only God's word can correct misunderstandings of God's word. We shall examine in the first place that sometimes people misunderstand the words of Jesus. And secondly, that the words of Christ are not the cause of those misunderstandings, but the solution. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. We read at the start of our text, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." With those words, Jesus was using a very common Jewish expression, which might sound a little odd to us today, referring to things that go contrary to the Lord and his word as leaven. Now, leaven is yeast. So again, to us that might seem weird that sin and false doctrine would be called yeast or leaven. But this was an expression that was understood by the Jews. They understood God's Passover requirements, that all leaven be removed from the house, symbolizing removal of sin. Consider how St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, saying, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The way that just a little bit of leaven or yeast spreads through and permeates the whole lump of dough is a common comparison to how sin and false doctrine grows and spreads. Thus the expression, "a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump," is used in Scripture, used by the Apostle Paul, twice in his epistles, once with regard to sin and once with regard to false doctrine. And in both cases, again, such references to leaven point to that which goes contrary to the word of God. And with that point that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, a warning is given that even if sin or doctrinal error might seem pretty small, might seem insignificant, it will spread. If it's not rooted out, it will grow. If it's not fought against. So may God keep us from ever thinking that just a little bit of sin or a little bit of false doctrine is okay and incapable of causing much damage. Under different circumstances, the disciples probably would have immediately understood what Jesus was saying. However, on this occasion, because the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, they had that on their minds. So when Jesus mentioned leaven, they made the incorrect assumption that Jesus was making some kind of commentary on their oversight. We read in our text, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.'" Jesus can't be blamed for their misunderstanding. The reasoning of the disciples here was really quite silly. It made no sense at all to think that Jesus was warning the disciples about the bread of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They weren't known to have dangerous bread, but they were known to have dangerous doctrines, teachings that went contrary to the scriptures. Their teachings were so dangerous that when they would go out and do mission work, the people they would talk to would become even more firmly implanted in the kingdom of Satan. On a different occasion, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, a Gentile convert. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." But because the disciples were so mentally preoccupied with the fact that they had forgotten to bring bread, they evaluated Jesus' words in that context and completely missed his point. Same thing happens all the time whenever a person, either intentionally or unintentionally, distorts the meaning of God's word and completely misses the point of a given verse because he's preoccupied with his own thoughts. Now, some people actually think that Christians should do that, that they should infuse their personal views into the Bible, that there's nothing objectively true in the scriptures, but it's all what the person brings to it. It's all subjective. So it's up to the individual to discover his own personal truth, and that no one has the right to criticize what he says a certain Bible passage says to him personally. But such thinking is completely contrary to what the Bible itself clearly says. In his second epistle, the Apostle Peter writes, "No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." It is because the Bible is the Word of God Himself that we humans have no right to foist our own personal opinions and interpretations upon it. The devil, of course, works to promote misunderstandings of God's Word. And he finds success doing this because man's sinful flesh also opposes the clear words of God and seeks to twist what the scriptures teach. We all must be aware of the dangers of twisting the scriptures. That can destroy saving faith itself. Referring to the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul, St. Peter writes toward the end of his second epistle, "As our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest," which means twist, "as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Now, one of the ways that Satan tries to confuse and corrupt a person's understanding of the Word of God is to increase personal pride in the heart. Because pride lifts itself up, dares to question what the Bible clearly teaches, and sometimes rejects what the Bible teaches if it doesn't conform to his own way of thinking. Now, God has given us our brains and the ability to use reason and logic, and so we should use those things in the service of the Scriptures, never exalted above the Scriptures. if we would exalt our human way of thinking above what the Bible teaches and reject those things in the Bible that either sound unreasonable or unscientific or what we just can't understand, we would lose a great deal of the Bible. We would lose some of the most important teachings of Holy Scripture. We'd lose the teaching of the one true God, the Trinity, because we can't understand that. We'd lose the very gospel itself, because it doesn't sound reasonable to think that someone who died on the cross purchased forgiveness for the world, and that simply by believing and trusting in him without any merit or worthiness in ourselves, we can get to heaven. But that's what the gospel teaches. So may God the Holy Ghost, through the power of his word, strengthen our faith so that we do not look to ourselves or our own way of thinking, that we never doubt what he tells us, even if we can't understand the scriptures. In the Bible, God gives us this important instruction: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As was mentioned earlier, the term leaven, used to refer to something that goes against the Word of God, was commonly understood at that time. So, the cause of the disciples' misunderstanding was not Jesus' choice of words. It was rather their mental fixation upon bread due to the fact that they had forgotten to bring bread with them. In correcting his disciples, Jesus first reminded them that their lack of bread was nothing that they should even be concerned about. We read in our text, "When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up?" In this way, Jesus reminded the disciples about how he had recently supplied more than enough food for thousands and thousands of people in a most miraculous way on 2 different occasions. So there was no need for them to be concerned that they had forgotten to bring bread. Next, he made it clear to them what should have already been obvious, that he was not referring to bread when he warned them about the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We read, "How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Now notice here that Jesus did not even need to tell them that by saying leaven, he was referring to their doctrine, their teachings. All he had to do was tell them what should have been obvious, that he wasn't talking about bread. Once they had eliminated that from their thinking, they understood exactly what he was saying. In like manner, all misunderstandings of God's word can really be cleared up by the word of God itself. God's word brings understanding and clarity of thought, clearly setting forth the teachings, the doctrines of God's holy word. This point is made over and over again in various places. One place, one chapter where you find many such expressions is Psalm 119. Here are some excerpts. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Again, Jesus really did not need to clarify his remarks. They were already perfectly clear to begin with. He merely pointed out that he was not talking about bread. Then it clicked. The disciples understood he was talking about the false teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. As was mentioned earlier, the Bible warns about how even a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So even just a little bit of false doctrine is very dangerous. But that leaven, that false doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, really could not even be correctly described as little. It was big. It was serious. Their false teachings undermined the very foundation of the Christian religion. You may remember that the Sadducees denied the resurrection of the dead. That's not a minor point of doctrine. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." The Pharisees, on the other hand, correctly taught that there is a resurrection of the dead. But they taught a different soul-destroying doctrine, that of work righteousness, the belief that man can be justified and saved by the works of the law. That teaching completely undermines the gospel. As St. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 5, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." Just think of how serious that is. Christ becoming of no effect for a person who believes that he's justified by the works of the law. Of course, in his law, God sets forth very clearly that it is impossible for man to save himself because of his many sins in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. But thankfully, he also very clearly sets forth salvation for sinful man in the gospel, where we were taught about what Jesus did to save us, how he perfectly kept all of God's law as our substitute, how he suffered the punishment that we deserve by our sins on the cross. And thus, through him, we are saved. We are justified, declared righteous. The scriptures declare, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And again, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And again, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Yes, in the Word of God, we find knowledge. Misunderstandings find correction. Clarity is given. We need to be on guard against the dangers of spiritual leaven, sin and false doctrine, which the devil tries to use to pull us off the foundation of God's holy word. No, we need to stay in the scriptures and through the Bible remain steadfast in the faith, continuing in his word of truth is the way that God imparts that saving truth to us. As Jesus told his disciples, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord, our God, the rock of our salvation and the fountain of all truth, who givest food to the hungry and executest judgment for the oppressed, who openest the eyes of the blind and raisest them that are bowed down, who givest habitation to the fatherless and the widow and lovest righteousness. We give thanks unto thee that thou hast delivered us from the power of darkness, redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ, and in his resurrection from the dead has given us the promise of an eternal inheritance with all thy people in heavenly places. Through thy word, help us to grow in the knowledge of thee and of thy will and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may walk before thee according to thy good pleasure all the days of our life, steadfast in faith and love, abounding in spiritual understanding and patience, and strengthened for every work of brotherly kindness and charity. Stir up thy church, O Lord, to remember thine everlasting mercies and thy continual presence. Cleanse, strengthen, and govern thy church, that it may be thy holy people, a light that shines in the darkness. Send forth shepherds to feed the flock, who by their obedience and love shall be men of God. Put thy word into their mouths, that truth may prevail and righteousness increase among us. And to this end, move the hearts of men throughout our conference earnestly to desire to become future pastors in our congregations and to prepare themselves for the responsibilities of this office by training in our seminary, that thy word may continue to be taught and upheld among us in all its truth and purity for generations to come. Continue mercifully to bless Pastor Leitz and grant him the strength needed to minister to thy flock in Oak Park. Richly bless also our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Support them in all their trials and deliver them by thy goodness, that being made whole in body and spirit, they may ever trust in the comfort of thy fatherly care. Give us diligence in truth and godliness as we wait for thy glorious return on the last day, that we may not fail to attain to thine eternal kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who has blotted our transgressions with thy blood and turned death into peaceful repose, we beseech thee, defend us from perplexing doubts and enable us in firm faith to take thee at thy word and to experience the power which thou dost impart to us daily in thy word, to the end that we may obtain everlasting life by thy grace. For thy holy name's sake, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 4 of hymn 296.